All right. You have anything planned?
No, not really.
No, me either.
All right.
All right. Should we get started and
Yeah,
just
let's
go?
do
All
it.
right.
Yeah, let's just go.
This is the Are You Screwed podcast.
So you're a punt guy, really like to punt guy.
I stood up to Greg and told him to exit the field of play.
I mean, like, yes.
The Are You Screwed podcast.
He's bitty bad.
You're calling Eric LeGrand a liar.
The director of athletics is responsible for selecting the football coach.
He's going to play for the Ducks.
Tampering.
Need agility. Play small lineup of soldiers. We win.
The Are You Screwed podcast.
Everybody, chop, 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 chop. Everybody.
Gaetano Panuccio.
Okay, here we go. Another episode of the Are You Screwed podcast. It's Adam and Max. Welcome back. I had really thought when they didn't punt, that was going to be the highlight of the season. And Greg Schiano got a little bit jealous, needed the spotlight back on him. And I guess we're going to be talking a lot about what happened and that Sean Gleason is fired. But we could also acknowledge again that if you didn't hear it last week, when they didn't punt, still a very good song, just now completely overshadowed.
I like the Rutgers offense and feeling kind of lifeless and like don't necessarily feel like doing this episode.
Yeah, I was on the fence. I don't know if we'll get to do one next week. I'm going to be away for the MLB postseason. That'll be my time to be out covering that. So I don't know if that's going to work. So yeah, I didn't know. I feel like everybody's been reacting to the Sean Gleason firing. So maybe we had to get, you know, some of our takes out there.
Oh, yeah.
Just a little bit of conversation.
The eighth
people are dying.
The eighth most popular Rutgers podcast needs to get their takes out there.
We do. People want to hear it. People want to still want to talk Rutgers football.
But do they want to hear us talking about Rutgers football?
You know what? I think they do. We know there are a few. I mean, how much is a few? Like, it might actually just be a few, like three, right? Definition of a few is three. It might be three people that are like, you know what? Been waiting for this one. All right. So we're coming off of, you know, let's start with Nebraska. Before, because we there's going to be plenty to talk about that'll lead us to talk about Sean Gleason getting fired, but let's start with Nebraska and what was a pitiful 14-13 loss, in which I just don't get why we can't have nice things. Why can't we have nice things as Rutgers fans? Why is it so bleak? Why is it so not fun when we get to the actual game portion of it? Like, I'm happy all the other stuff is kind of cool and it was another fun setting. Mike's favorite Barstool guys were there. It was awesome. It was a great, great environment pregame. And then you get to the game and you're like, if I gotta sit through this shit, can we just win? Just win. Why can't we win? Why can't I get that? Why can't I get a mediocre football win?
You felt pretty good at halftime. Well, I guess you probably didn't feel that good at halftime because you knew you should have been up more than 13-0.
I felt fine at halftime because it wasn't blatant how bad Noah Vedral's stamina was. I can't believe that's what we're talking about. His stamina.
His hands.
Noah Vedral's stamina.
His muscle stamina, I
God,
guess.
Just the way we talk about this injury is just so nauseating. It's almost as nauseating as watching the offense.
But hey, we're talking about it now. It's out there. Greg Schiano admitted that Noah Vedral had a hand injury.
I got it.
Admitted it.
I'm a little dubious of that strategy. I think, again, giving away that edge week to week is a little, you know, something to question, but that's my frustration is just like, why can't we get some mediocre shitty wins? Like, why? That I still keep coming back to that. It's like, this isn't difficult. I'm not asking for much.
Well, they got a couple last year. They gave you what? Who'd they beat last year? Illinois and what was their other? Oh, Indiana. You got a couple last year. They were just on the road. You want one at home.
Yeah. like, we should be having mediocre, shitty wins in conference every year. I don't need you. I get it. Like, you're going to have years where you don't win every one of them, where you don't win every single one. It just is like, this really feels like a break for Rutgers schedule wise. Like, I cannot believe how poorly the schedule, or how really lucky they got scheduling wise. Let's take out Ohio State. Like, every single game to this point, they, like, you can make the argument they should have won the game. And you don't get that opportunity very often in the conference, the way the schedule has been laid out in the past. And it's just, it's calling a spade. They're going to have to run into some luck at some point to push this rebuild forward. And I just am continuing to scratch my head at, like, again, asking why us? Like, why does Rutgers have to go the super slow-mo path to rebuild? Why does fucking Kansas get to be ranked?
I was going to kind of get to that. Like it or not, the way Greg Schiano is trying to build this program is the way he built it last time. He's going to recruit and develop, and he's used the transfer portal a little bit. I know it's annoying to watch other schools use it better and, like, who are rebuilding more quickly because they're doing that, but that's not the way he's going to build the program. That's not the guy you hired. You didn't hire the transfer portal mercenary guy. You hired the program builder guy.
Well, the way he rebuilds it the first time, he's going to have to kick Ohio State and Michigan out of the conference, and then he can maybe get a little lucky. And I mean, so I don't, like, this is the reality of it. He's got to, again, it is what it is. You're right. You're 1,000% right on that. He's building it the way he did it the first time.
I think firing Gleason is kind of admitting that he's got to go a different way. Because I think when he hired Gleason, I think he hired him for the team that he wanted to have. And I think 2.5 years in, he realized he doesn't have, like, Sean Gleason didn't become a complete moron overnight who didn't know how to call an offense. He just never really adapted or was able to adapt to the talent that he had. I mean, who could, right?
Yeah, it's bad.
He's not really working with a lot. And I think that, like, they just don't have the players that you need to run the offense that Gleason wanted to run. And I can't even imagine, like, the prehistoric version of football we are going to see with Nunzio Campanelli as the offensive coordinator. It is going to be like, they're going to try to win every game 6-3. Like, they're going to try to be Iowa is what this is going to become. And if they can win some games, but they are going to really pack it in, like, on offense and be running, I would guess, a lot more than they were under Gleason.
And again, this goes back to the conversation we did have a little bit last week. Like, it is not fair. They are down to their third string quarterback. And what we saw against Nebraska was a joke that, like, Noah Vendrell had to play injured in that game. Like, he should not be playing right now. He can't throw the football. Like, it was in the fourth quarter when he had to come back out after Simon threw the interception, where they were forced into that hand, pun intended, where he threw that one little dump off, and, like, I was like, oh my God, I can't believe, like, this is what they have to throw out there right now. So that's it. It's not fair. And it just keeps going back to, like, I can't believe how bad things have gone in such an opportunistic season. What could have been?
I just think, I don't know. I think in the grand scheme, I know it's frustrating. I still think this is going in the right direction. I know the offense is bad, but the defense has gotten a lot better. And you didn't hire the quick turnaround guy. Like, okay, if the offense had progressed at the same rate that the defense has, you'd be less annoyed. If they were losing games, if they lost to Nebraska like 35-31 instead of 14-13, and kind of the progression of the offense, the defense were switched, I think people would be a lot less frustrated.
Well, sure. You said if it was at the same rate, they'd only have one loss on the season if it improved at the same rate. But I mean,
like, if the defense was bad and the offense.
No, I get it. I you're saying it was flipped. No, I understand. I just think that I'm the defense. That's what Greg does. He's good at it. It seems like they found, like, they definitely have gotten better. I mean, the offense hasn't gotten any better. It's gotten worse. It has gotten worse.
No, this isn't worse. You're forgetting what it was.
I think it's.
You mean before he got here or since? Like
no,
2020?
I think this is. I mean, 2020. Whether I don't know what was going on that year, they did find creative ways.
Yeah.
To find a way to be efficient offensively.
They weren't efficient. They weren't good offense.
They did find ways at times to score the football and win games.
Oh yeah, yeah.
They're not doing that this year. I mean, it's bad. And again, it's a lot of it has to do with the quarterback. 90% of this has to do with the quarterback, as much as we don't want to talk, as we try and continue to push blame elsewhere and whatever. It just depends on where you want to go in that direction with the quarterback talk.
It's also boring. We've been doing this podcast for four years.
But this is my point, though. Every time, this is why I'm asking why. It's this whole slow thing is boring. This whole fucking slow build is boring. Everybody else, or a large majority of college football fans in a rebuild, it doesn't work every time, but they sure as hell get to rebuild quicker than we do. I mean, I was really thinking about this today. Like, we've seen, like, it was such a short span that we were given this little, like, lifeline into not fun, but like, we were being mediocre and winning like other college football programs. 7 wins here, 8 wins there. Okay, you have a 4-win season. That happened. Now you're back to 6. But this just sucks right now. And I know I'm being a Debbie Downer about it. It sucks. It's not fun. It's not fun going to games. I think anybody who says they're having fun is a fucking lunatic. If you're going into that stadium and thinking that this is fun football to watch. Everything else surrounding it, like, we're just kind of faking it at this point. Like, we're trying to get ourselves amped. And Rutgers are doing a great job, by the way. Like, it's amazing still that how many people actually even are deciding to care about this and spend their money on it. It's awesome. So that's why I'm just annoyed.
Do you think the Nebraska game was kind of a breaking point for that? Where a lot of people are going to stop.
I guess at this point,
if you haven't stopped showing, if you haven't stopped by now.
No. But it's like anything else. It's the breaking point because you get a month and a half typically where people are kind of invested, and it's kind of a natural break. The weird thing this year is you get home, get a week off, and then you get homecoming. I think overall the luster's gone. Like, I think for the most, right, students always show up for like the first 3 to 4 games on average in decent numbers. I think again, if it's nice and it's homecoming, you'll probably get a good crowd.
I don't know, man. I think that homecoming crowd might be rough.
Yeah, it might be. I don't give a shit either way. Listen, you could, the media members can continue to fucking talking about how many people are showing up at kickoff if that's what suits them. I'm so fucking, you're talking about being tired about talking about the quarterback stuff. I'm so goddamn tired about talking about how many people are in the stands at kickoff. I mean, who fucking cares? You get paid to sit in a nice climate controlled area. You come way before there's traffic. You leave way after the traffic is gone. Shut the fuck up. Oh my God, enough already.
Who is this directed at?
There's plenty of people in the media that still do this. It's just a general thing that happens. Like, because they bend the knee to every coach, and a coach is like, well, it's really important that fans show up like at the kickoff. We don't like seeing silver seats in the kickoff. Like, every coach says it. Who cares what every coach says? Like these are, it's paying for entertainment. People can do what they want.
I can't believe you left at 14-13.
That was a good decision again by me. I've been so right on that this year. I will get maybe at one point I'll get bit, but I haven't. I've been spot on that.
You left after the penalty. Who was the penalty on?
It was on the third down play.
The player that it was on. I can't remember the player.
With the eye. What's how's the eye?
It wasn't Igbinosin.
I think it was.
Was it?
Yeah, I think it was.
I thought he got hurt.
Okay. I don't know.
That's why we're the 8th most popular Rutgers podcast, because we don't know.
No, nobody gives a shit about that. I just, again, like, after we just saw all that in the second half, what made any, like, my rationale was basically like, the clock continues to tick. They're going to get the football back in. Like, can Rutgers drive 80 yards?
Just needed a field
goal. After what I've been watching.
Hey, man. Like, Hey, the Gaelic kicker almost made a 58 yarder.
Yeah, well, that prediction at the beginning of the season still sucks for Fonseca.
He's been good.
He's been fine.
He's got a big leg.
He's been fine. He got a big leg. He can come close to the things that he's got to hit it between.
He's been, I think he's been pretty good.
I know. I'm being mean up to the kicker now because now I'm just in a
I feel like mood. He's the best kicker we've had in a few years, right? Like,
yeah, probably.
Yeah. It's been a while.
Had some Valentino rough. Ambrosia.
I want to go through Rutgers kickers from the last few years because I think we'll find some funny names in there.
I mean, it's just so frustrating right now. It is. I've just kind of reached that point where it's like my expectations are so low. I'm back to like this is just torture because I still like it as much as I try to avoid it. You get sucked back in, so it sucks. That whole the game just sucked. And you lost to a shitty Nebraska team.
Oh, they're so bad, man. They're so bad. I didn't think they were that bad. Like
they're terrible. They're terrible.
Their offense is actually has been pretty good. And so that, you know, good for the defense. Was able to
I mean, I am. It is October 11th and I am dying to read freaking Rutgers Big Ten Media Day basketball.
I was gonna ask, were you waiting on Carino?
This is where I am right now, and this is what annoys me. Like, come on, just distract me enough to get to real basketball games. Now I've got, you know what I got to worry about right now? Fake sellouts for Columbia. That's what I got to worry about now, thanks to Rutgers football. I have to direct my attention to fake sellouts for basketball. It just is like, come on, give me something. Like, give me some hope. Even just play semi, half, the quarter decent, so that you know what. In my stupid brain, I'm like, you know what, this could be the year they beat Penn State.
Remember Guy Fava?
Yeah, I do.
Hey, you know what? They still could. This still could be the year they beat.
Could
Penn
still
State.
Be the year.
Could still be the year.
Still could be the year.
They better beat Indiana, man. Good yeah. God, they better beat Indiana. Because like,
I feel like we kind of always touch the surface on everything. We really don't get too deep on this stuff. I'm just annoyed right now as a fan. But like, I do start to wonder again, like he could talk about building it the right way, all this stuff. Like, I just like, where are the playmakers coming in? Who are you recruiting to come here to save you right now? Like the offense is so bad. It keeps going back to the conversation about this whole entire year now comes down to getting Gavin Wimsett healthy and seeing if he's the guy. Because if he's not the guy after this year, or you don't have that answer, like it is like that, just that gif where it's the red guy and his hair is on fire and he explodes. That's it. That'd be me. Angry and just
if,
like done.
Well, what if Federal sits out the rest of the season, takes a medical red shirt?
He can't. We've already gone through this. I think it's been proven in many places that he's not coming back. But for your hypothetical,
I don't know. I think I don't believe it.
Was it Taylor Martinez or Adrian Martinez who came back for like a seventh or eighth year? God, it was so annoying sitting there watching that game. It was so annoying. Like at 13-0, like I was just like, okay, like I didn't feel like they were going to lose. It was once it got to 13-7 and you saw the issues and like the fucking QB carousel going on where it was just like, this is just unbelievable. Like they're going to lose this game.
A drive there. I think that it was like every play they were swapping them out. Yeah.
Every play.
That was annoying to keep track of.
It's just amazing. It's been a long time since the last one where I
14-13 like, you left and you went to Taco Bell.
I went. I grabbed a little cheesy gordita crunch right before, just to really up the level of my stomach ache after leaving that one. I they didn't come back and win, so I don't regret leaving one bit.
It's a baller move. It's a ballsy move.
It is a ballsy move. I don't think that I'm regretting. If they come back and win that, I'd be very happy because I'd
I'm
be
surprised
like
your brother left.
Anger. It's just like
the Mets had already made him kind of angry that night too, I guess.
Yeah, you can only sit around so much and see the same thing over and over and over again. Like you kind of can feel when the tide is shifting and like you're in that spot where you're like, you know what, I'm gonna give him a shot and like things are going well and like this, it just felt like old time sitting there. Like no matter what, this is a terrible game. And I'm not even gonna be rewarded for sitting here with a win. I'm just gonna have my heart ripped out. So you know what? If I'm going to, I might as well get in the car. Because who cares at that point?
Do you think a sizable portion of the fan base is kind of not like losing confidence in Schiano, but is like, I don't know. I mean, you've seen some of the the anti-Shiano people kind of come out and say, I told you so, you know. Yeah, yeah. Have a little bit of that.
I don't know. I don't know what the number would actually like be at. I certainly am concerned at like, again, you got to deliver something for the fans that is memorable, if not every year, every other year. And I don't think that last year counted. Last year was not memorable because you backed into the Gator Bowl. Like that's not memorable. And you didn't get 2020 because you weren't there. So like, okay, you know, tough shit for Greg that you still made $5 million that year. So I don't really feel bad about that. Like, yeah, you could like I know he kind of hinted he was asked about the losing streak and he kind of was like, hey, don't forget. It was like half of it was Chris Ash.
I was going to say that's the second time he's done that. Because I mean, it was brought up, I think, last week by somebody and he had the same response. He's like, well, you know, 2.5 years I've been here for that. Just making sure that, you know,
yeah,
only 11 of those losses are mine.
Hey, man, I was one of his biggest critics by the time that he decided to voluntarily leave. Like I was kind of always riding he took Rutgers kind of to the top of what he could do, never won a Big East title with them. And it just like he did a very respectable job and should always be remembered for that. Coming back for 2.0, like I did think he was the one to at least get it back to stability. And we might be on that same track again, but I don't think whoever comes into here, like, again, the ceiling is not very high for Rutgers football, not with the way the current Big Ten is constructed, which, by the way, I want to get to at some point because it is the bye week. And we kind of hinted at some point we talk about it. I just want to throw ideas shortly in regards to college football about how it could be structured. We talked about promotion and relegation in the past. I was kind of thinking about that on my way home from work today, that maybe I'd bring it up.
Okay, we get to that.
It's just I'm not just frustrated, man. Really am. It really took a lot out of me, that Nebraska game. I absolutely lost my shit on the 4th-and-1 false start.
Oh, that was so bad. That was so, so bad.
After the Penn State incident, I have really watched myself in terms of like, don't get too crazy. It's not worth it. Like I think I've done a really good job. I sit there for the most part quiet. I have fun. The problem is it like bubbles up. And so when something does happen, like I really got to control it. I absolutely lost it.
For those of you
screaming at the top of my lungs
to the podcast, because that's a 3-year old story, 4-year. Oh, that's a 4-year old story. It's 4 years old. It's a 4-year old story.
The Failey special.
Yeah. So real quick, Giovanni Rusciniò drops the Failey special. Adam rips out his seat cushion, literally rips out the little, his family had those bougie seat cushions on their seats. And he ripped out the cushion and threw it like 15 rows after the Failey special. I actually thought about that yesterday because who was it? Was it what team? An NFL team ran a really bad Philly special. I think it was the Bengals. And it made me think of the Failey special, which was actually the worst Philly special that's ever happened. Yep.
Yeah. So I absolutely just, that was one where I was like, enough is enough. Just lost my mind on that one on the 4th-and-1. It just builds up and hey, for those fans that can just eat week in and week out, continue to show up and take that. I don't know. Like, this is just about winning at this point. I know I'm not playing the games, but like I never have wanted to be a loser. I'm competitive. Like I'm a sore loser in anything that I've done growing up.
I'm going to make a poll. Have you ever wanted to be a loser?
I just want to win. I know these guys do too. So it's not like I'm saying that they don't want to win. It just gets so frustrating when, like, you know what? A lot of these guys came, like, you're there for 4 years and that's it. Like, when you are invested as a lifetime fan, like, I know I'm not playing, but it's just a constant hammer over the head when you're a Rutgers fan. And sure, it's funny. We can mock and like, I get it. That's how we get through this together, is by joking and just making asses out of ourselves. But holy fuck, at some point it becomes annoying.
How about that crazy fact that every other team in the Big Ten, except for Purdue, has won a game at Rutgers since the last time Rutgers did?
It's nuts. And what, we're a couple weeks away from Michigan going for win number five since they've been in the Big Ten, and Rutgers has no more than four.
Rutgers has four. Rutgers has four Big Ten wins at home since they've joined. Penn State and Michigan will have a chance to be the all-time Big Ten winners at Rutgers Stadium.
It's a goddamn miracle that people are showing up for these games. Like, I don't think we talk about that enough. Like people are still dying for something real to come out of this program.
You're saying that like it should be more like 5,000 people there
at most. They probably should have just given up on football at this point.
I don't know. I just don't think this is that bad. Like, it's like I'm just remembering what it was, and the defense has improved a lot. It sucks the offense hasn't. I'm frustrated too. I'm tired of watching this bad quarterback play and bad offensive line play, and the receivers can't get open, and running backs can't get the edge. So Sam Brown has looked very good, though. You know, he was averaging 3.9 yards a carry against Nebraska. The Rutgers fans were talking about him like he was Walter Payton.
He is Derrick Henry, but
he's Derrick Henry. But yeah, like it's, I just don't think it's that bad. I don't know. I don't think it's that bad. I think that we're not going to have the type of program that maybe we thought they were going to have when Shiano took over and he hired Gleason. I mean, you know, you hire Gleason and you see what they did in 2020. And like I said earlier, like I think that Shiano had a different vision for what this was going to be. And maybe in year three, he's realizing that he just can't do that with the talent that he has here. And now we're just going to, you know, we're going to run the ball 50 times a game.
Yeah. All right. So we made it pretty far with that. I don't really care to, like, he fired Gleason. I don't know if good, bad move. Again, I'm with you.
Nunzio's back.
Yeah. If he realized that Sean Gleason wasn't going to be the answer next year, then I don't see the big deal of firing him now. He got his money. He'll find another job elsewhere. He'll be fine. I have no idea if Rutgers will be fine. I've said it numerous times. My concern right now is the whole quarterback thing. They don't get it. If they can't figure out the quarterback thing by the end of this year and don't have a definite answer on Gavin Wimsett, then I'm very scared for the future. That's really what they got to figure out. That's what the rest of the season is about. That's really it.
Well, I've got some old sound here from Nunzio. Let's see what this is. What is this?
It basically imploded on offense.
Yeah, it did. It has.
You know, it basically imploded on offense.
I think that was from when they had one passing yard against Indiana. What is this? Nunzio is no Funzio. What is this?
Do you understand the decision? Are you disappointed by the decision? I mean, what the overall?
Am
I disappointed by it? Incredibly. Do I understand it? I guess so. I guess that's the way the world is now, you know, but I don't, you know, I think that this is a game about your team, you know, and it's about, you know, sacrificing personal accomplishment for the success of the team. So, you know, but, you know, that's the world they live in. And they got a lot of people telling them, you know, worry about you. So I get it. But, you know, I'm raising two boys. I'm trying to raise them about, you know, being willing to sacrifice some of the things they want to what's good for the people around them. But I get it. I understand. And that's, you know, the world that we're living in. And, you know, he's a great kid. And, you know, we'll see what happens in the coming weeks.
That was such a dick move. The Are You Screw podcast, where you hear 3-year-old audio from Nunzio Campanelli.
Yeah. So I don't know. I mean, the rest of the season is what it is.
I don't have the audio when he said something about we threw for 1 yard. That's almost impossible. I don't have that sound.
Yeah, because we tried to erase it from everybody's memory. Like, we've tried it. Like, no, that actually didn't happen. That's fake news. Never happened.
1 yard. So what? Okay, what does this mean that Nunzio Campanelli is now the offensive coordinator? Is it, he's just like a patsy for Greg? Is it just going to be this super like run the old Greg Schiano run on first down, run on second down, throw on third down, and then punt?
Isn't that the only option they have right now?
I guess. I mean, they got to try something.
I don't know. I mean, the answer is that he's the guy that, for whatever reason, when shit goes wrong lately, like he took over for Chris Ash, he got a shot there to, you know, he, I don't know what he's going to do. I don't know what anybody can do with this offense right now. I mean, I think there are things to slightly improve upon and put right when you don't have the skilled players that you need, like it does become up to the coaches to try and figure it out, to gain an advantage somewhere to try and compete. Like I'm again, not asking them to do it against Michigan, not even really against Penn State. Like those teams are at different levels right now, but against Indiana and like a Michigan State, it's going to be Nunzio's job to try and figure out something that will get them to stay in some football games and at least feel like they have a shot. I mean, to me, it just, you mentioned it in our text chain. And I think in the Discord too, like the best throw we've seen out of the last like 7 years was Evan Simon's dart on a slant over the middle to a tight end, which like that is something that Gleason just never did the last 2 years. And I don't understand why they just, all he did was use the sidelines. That's where he allowed his quarterbacks to basically throw. So
they don't throw the ball if they don't throw the ball over the middle. If they're afraid of turnovers. I mean, you see what happens when you,
and you're going to have, and I just
Simon is, you know, he's very, what's the word?
Turnover happy.
Yeah. Very, I don't know what, the phrase I'm looking for is, but
risky
guns. He's a gunslinger.
Gunslinger. Yeah. It's
like Brett Favre, just without the success and the welfare fraud.
Yeah. So yeah, what does it mean? I don't know. I'm probably is going to get worse. It probably is going to get worse.
Can it get worse? Like,
you know what?
It's going to look worse. It could look worse because they're going to be playing better teams
here. It could look worse in certain instances in final scores, but if Gavin is healthy enough, like maybe you run into not luck to win games, but you run into a couple more points and a couple more, like maybe you do run into a couple like 175, 200 yard passing type games. He's also going to have, like, it kind of reminds me a little bit of like when Mike Teal first took over and all he did was throw interceptions. Like, at some point, you're like, you got to do it. And it was the best time to do it for Mike Teal was when he had Ryan Hart there. If Mike Teal would have done that in 2006, it would have never happened. Like,
oh man, Ryan Hart was so underrated.
Gavin's got it. Like, he just got to get on the field and go through the growing pains now because you don't want to waste this year. This year is shot. It's done. Like, if he's healthy, he's got to start versus Indiana.
What happened to the cakewalk? To six.
The cake, we got smashed in the face with the cake. The cake has been dropped. It's over.
The cake has been dropped. The cakewalk is done.
Yeah. Yeah.
Are they going to get to four?
Cakewalk to four? No, I don't. I mean, I've got
one. You think they're going to lose every... I think they're going to beat Indiana. I think they're going to beat them.
I hope they do. Again, I hope they do. But it kind of depends on moving forward how they do this and how they win games. Like, Noah Vedral's not here next year. Fix the quarterback spot.
You pointed this out by text, and I think you actually might have said it earlier in the episode, where just how fucked of a situation it is when your best option at quarterback is an already limited quarterback who, you know, we've seen have lots of trouble throwing the ball into tight windows and throwing the ball down the field and throwing the ball, period. Your best option at quarterback is him, but with some kind of injured hand that's not fully healed or ready to play or whatever.
Yeah,
that's your best option at quarterback.
It was just, it's peak Rutgers. We can't, obviously don't want to play the third string quarterback because we haven't been able to develop him. He's just not a good option.
But I don't think that's fair. Haven't been able to develop him. It's the third string quarterback.
Well, whatever. Yes, just go back to my tweet. My tweet says it all. I put it on there. I put it in the text. It's just hysterical, the fact that in a year where everything is broken your way schedule-wise, take advantage of it in a big, huge spot where you need a win, Rutgers has to play a quarterback who can't throw the football.
Right, and that's kind of like Rutgers could be kind of a crappy team and be 5-1 right now.
Yeah, it'd be great. That's what I want. That is what I want.
Or even 4-2.
Yeah, again, we'll take it. It'd be great. Be very happy with it. That's all I want. I just want to be crappy, but win some games. That's it. And not win Temple, Boston College, and Wagner don't count. They don't count.
I feel like Boston College kind of counts.
Half counts. The other two don't count.
I think it fully counts. You're playing someone on a similar crap level as you. Like,
okay, fine. They got one of those. So they've won one of those and they've lost two at home. So once again, we're doing the same thing. I can't get to see it in person.
Okay. You keep kind of lumping the Iowa and Nebraska games together. I don't think it's fair. Defense is so good. That Iowa defense is so good. I don't think.
Yeah, but
like again, Nebraska's horrible. That was an awful, awful, awful loss. But like, I don't think expecting them to beat Iowa.
Nah, I think the Nebraska game is a game where you got to win by more than two scores the way they played. And I think the Iowa game, all you wanted is you got to be down no more than a field goal in the fourth quarter.
Well, right.
Because the offense is so bad.
And the defense played well. Just they had those two, the two defensive touchdowns.
Right. So again, I would have been fine if they split those two. You can't lose both of them. And if they lose this third one.
Oh, if they lose Jesus to Indiana, Christ. That's who.
All right. So that's a lot more talk than I anticipated on where things are. So I had this random idea going back to, because we were talking about the Big Ten and everything and how things are structured. So we talked, I've had this idea of promotion and relegation. Like, I think it would be fun for college football. So let me just run through my scenario real quick for you. Okay. Ideal world, there's five super conferences, 20 teams in each super conference, 100 teams total. Each division, each league gets split into 10 and 10. We can call them tier one and tier two of FBS football. So, and we could figure out how did we get to the tier one and tier two, but basically that's where we get the two divisions split. So you play only the people in your tier, the top tier, tier one, that's typical FBS football. We've got the college football playoff. It's expanding. You can go 12, 16 teams. So you have 50 teams in tier one. Let's put it at a 16 team playoff for tier one. And tier two, it's you're only playing your conference teams. So 9 games a season to get promoted. So like, let's take the top three in tier two get promoted, the bottom three in tier one get relegated.
How many teams are in each
10.
Tier?
10? 10 okay. In each tier. So five conferences, right. Five super conferences of 20 teams each.
I feel like that's too many.
100 teams total?
100.
But it's split at 50, but then it's 50 and 50 because tier one is only 50, tier two is 50. And you're only playing, then tier two, your punishment basically is you're only allowed to play within your league because you're trying to get up
right
to tier one. That's it. And for tier one, the way you do it as well too, you can't schedule far in advance because you don't know, you're not allowed to play. Like if you're tier one, you're not allowed to schedule tier two. So you have to wait till the off season to do your non-conference. And let's just say the perfect number would be 11 games before we get into a playoff. So you play nine.
You have to schedule tier one.
Have to schedule tier one.
Can't schedule an FCS team.
Nope. Can't schedule FCS team. Nope. That's long gone. They could do their
FCS teams play their way up into the system.
Yes. The way this happens is if you finish bottom two for 3 years straight, the conference members get to take a vote. They can kick you out and they could just pick up any FCS team that they want.
I like that.
And that's like, you know, level three of English soccer. FCS.
So what would the crap division of the Big Ten look like? It's Rutgers, Indiana.
Rutgers, Maryland, Indiana, probably there. Maryland, Northwestern.
Nebraska
right now.
Nebraska, basically the entirety of their stay in the Big Ten.
Right. And then you'd have to bring in a couple more teams because, again, we're getting to 20 in each league. So we got to do a little bit of expansion in the Big Ten. So if, let's just say they wanted
four more teams we need.
Yeah. So if they wanted to add a couple more Pac-12 type teams or whatever it is, I don't know. In a perfect world, it would all be redone kind of geographically, but they brought UCLA and USC into this mix. But I think an ideal thing for like promotion and relegation that would be great is, especially when you keep it regional, is it gives you just something like, imagine Rutgers, like, playing in like, you know, Thanksgiving weekend in front of like 7,000 people to get like promoted to tier one. It'd be kind of exciting.
Yeah. I mean, they'd like, probably never be in that position, but
it's they might
nice,
not be.
It's nice to dream.
Right. Or
I like it. I'm in.
Yeah, it just gives you so many more exciting games, because then you have top games to watch, because like Ohio State, you still want them in the playoff to represent the Big Ten, win a championship, but you don't have to play them. But you don't have to play them, number one.
Unless you get promoted.
Unless you get promoted, your
balls beat in by them.
And then you'll get relegated.
Right.
So like that's just how it works.
And it's the top. So it's the top three.
I think top three.
Okay.
Yep. Top three, bottom three. Just do a flip. And we could even do, if you want, you could even do like the team that finishes like, so the bottom two in tier one definitely go down. But that eighth team, they maybe have a playoff against the three team in tier two.
Oh, interesting.
So it's not just automatic. And the winner of that, you just stay. You either go up or you stay as put.
Interesting. I like that. Adding more playoffs to it.
Yeah,
I like it.
See, now we're getting into it. Now it's fun because you got way more things to root for. It's way more outcomes. I like that. I like that system way better than what we're at right now, which is obviously like we know we're not playing for this magical bowl game. You know, whereas a 16 team playoff in a 50 team league on a good year, like you just want to get into the playoff. That's it. Bowls are done, long gone. We kill them. They don't need to exist in this system. I think it would be awesome.
I'm in.
I think it would be great. So like in a 16 team, if you've got five conferences in a 16 team playoff, you know, the top three in each league automatically get a playoff spot. And then you have one wild card. I don't know. However you want to do it. You could do the top two in each league, you know, get an automatic playoff spot. And then you have a bunch of wild cards and it's based off of the ranking system, you know, like whatever it is, there's a committee, all that stuff. You could have selection Sunday type things. So tier one gets to play normal FBS football with a big expanded playoff. That'd be great. If you're tier two, cause you suck, you've got to try and work your way up. That's how it is.
And because of American greed and what's the word? Consolidation, I guess, is kind of like it'll never, ever, ever happen.
Never, ever. But how cool would it be like a Survivor type show cowards. Where they kick Rutgers out of the Big Ten because they finished bottom two for 3 years straight, and they get all the teams get together and they have like, you know, a big voting reveal, like thumbs up, thumbs down.
Is the U.S. the only place in the world who doesn't run their sports leagues like that, where they have promotion and relegation? I feel like every other sports league.
You know, I don't know. I don't know if any of like this, like South America soccer leagues, I don't know how they really work. I don't know if there's promotion and relegation there. I think that it might just be the English system that has promotion and relegation.
Is it?
Yeah, it might be. He's going to be so annoying because when he's going to be listening to this, Danny immediately is going to tell us exactly what the answer is. And Mike probably would as well, too.
You want to give your soccer take?
Do I?
I'm trouble this week with your take on soccer.
Okay. Yeah. So in our text chain,
there's promotion and relegation in La Liga.
Okay. Again, Danny would have told us that by now. So we wouldn't have needed to get to this point. So
the Bundesliga has it. What's the French one? League One.
So we got into I annoyed Danny and I think Mike a little bit in our text chain because I started ranking how like different kind of superlatives. Superlatives, yeah, I would call it for like sports. What did it get started from? Why did we start ranking them? Do you remember or no?
I don't remember what the Where the genesis of the conversation about soccer came from. Let me see if I can find it.
I'm trying to find it myself too.
Max and Adam look through their phones.
Yeah, hold on. Let's see. Hurricane talk. I'm talking about Jim Cantore. Well, how'd it take me up to there?
Okay. I said that baseball players are the weirdest athletes.
Oh, that's right. That's
then you made a list.
Right.
Weirdest baseball. And then you said the softest players are soccer players.
Right. Because I'd like to annoy Danny very much. And I know that it would rile him up. And then Danny went off, right? Basically like, Adam, like would 17-year-old Adam be able to take a slide tackle?
Would 17-year-old Adam be able to take a slide tackle?
I think that was the text. Would 17-year-old H be able to take a slide tackle? Yes, I'd be fine, and I wouldn't roll around like a little sissy just holding my leg after being like, oh my God, I'm like in so much pain, and I'm gonna fake this. Like, oh, it's the worst part of soccer. And I think soccer's tough. It's not like it's, I'm not calling it a difficult sport. It's you gotta be extremely skilled to play soccer, but holy crap, can we knock it off with the whining and just acting like you're shot every time somebody touches you? That was it. What were some of my other superlatives that made no sense? I called like, oh, then you guys got mad because I said stupid, negligent football players. I just meant in terms of like they're insane for the sport that they play, not that the people themselves are stupid, right? That's how I think some of you guys took it. I think, baseball players they're tough. They are tough.
They're tough. It's tough. Are they?
Name me one other sport where you get hurt celebrating and take the time off properly to rest up, heal, and get ready to help your team in some playoff games. Baseball players have to do that because they know what they're going to put their bodies through. I just think we should be admiring baseball players. Look at some of the horrible physiques that we've got. Like, as we should be aspiring to be like that. Those are athletes. It's the John Daly equivalent. Like, those are athletes right there.
I really wish I was of age to have appreciated John Daly.
Yeah.
I would have loved John Daly like people love Tiger Woods. Yeah. I really wish I had been kind of older for the John Daly era of golf. Not that it was a particularly long era, but
yeah. Somebody asked us in the Discord. It came up, have you ever considered selling your podcast? And there was a tweet linking why it might be good.
No, we sold ourselves before. Rutgers.rivals.com.
Yeah.
Actually, go to Scarlet Nation. Actually, go to Scarlet Faithful.
That's Aaron's?
Yeah.
And Aaron showed up in the Discord today, by the way. I didn't know that Aaron was part of the Discord.
Yeah.
You can go to the Discord, by the way, and join. The link's in our Twitter bio. And see who else is talking in there.
Yeah. Oh, we also had, what was that thing that, inspiritcollegebrand.com?
Yes. So apparently this is the 1 year anniversary of Puka Williams' agent telling us that we had our facts wrong.
All right. So backstory for anyone who doesn't remember, Puka Williams was the Kansas running back. And during the game, the announcers were talking about the story. That when he was a kid, he had some sort of freak horrible accident and his toes were cut off. And they said that he didn't have any toes in one of his feet. And we tweeted something from the account about how Puka, an old joke from like, do you have it in front of you?
Yeah. So you tweeted on this day a year ago, you said, okay, this is way too looking at the bright side. But if Rutgers gave up 40, 60 plus yard touchdowns in a game 2 years ago, they'd have given up like 60 points, not 31. So I guess they must have, this is whoever they lost to last year.
That sounds like the Michigan State game. I think they have a bunch of long touchdowns. Yeah.
And then we have one of our guys respond back, only 55 points and quotes, it's only 350 plus touchdowns, but it was Kansas. So it's count here.
Right.
And then you responded back saying, did you know that Puka Williams doesn't have any toes on one of his feet? And then this person just chimes in and is like, not true, but okay. .. And then you were who are you? Yes, it is true.
And it turns out, I think it ended up DMing with the guy, and it turns out it was Puka Williams' agent, and he was saying that it was misinformation that was out there about Puka Williams not having any toes. And I was like, I sent the guy a link. I'm like, dude, I just read this story about how he doesn't have any toes. They said it on the broadcast. Your problem is with them. I guess Puka Williams was still trying to get a job in the NFL and thought that the Are You Screw podcast tweeting about him would prevent that.
Great stuff. Good times.
I'd forgotten about that.
Puka Williams has that many toes. It's one of the great lines in our intro song. One of the ones that you did. So, yeah, I don't know. Is there anything else that you wanted to chat about? I don't think we're going to. So we're probably not going to do this next week. It really just kind of depends.
It's up to you if you have
It kind of depends how things line up.
Actually, I mean, obviously, this is more of an off-air conversation. Maybe we could do something during the day if you're.
We could. I'd be able to. Okay, we'll try and do something.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know what we talk about. There's no game.
I think we should just do like a 3-minute gambling segment, and then just that's it.
Do something quick. I can recap. I'm going to a big wedding this weekend. I could recap.
Oh, wedding recap. Okay, yeah, maybe we'll do a little cocktail hour judging and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. And we'll be good. Portnoy, by the way, reviewed one of the pizza spots at Rutgers.
Daniels? Yeah, Daniels? I've heard of it. I think it's a newer one.
Daniels. It was next to a sushi spot, which they stole that from Skinny Vinny's. Skinny Vinny's used to be a pizza and half sushi spot as well, too.
For those that were
back in the day. You were a big Skinny's fan or no?
No, I always went to Pizza City. Was always my was my go to.
There's not like it's as it within most college campuses. There really isn't any amazing pizza options. Like you're not getting the best of the best of like New Jersey at Rutgers,
like Giovanelli's.
I mean, like the place that the Stuff Your Face is still fantastic. Love that. Love Stuff Your Face.
They don't have pizza, do they?
No, I don't mean. I'm sorry. I just meant in terms of like the place I'm going to go for food on campus. I was a big. Stuff Your Face and Hansel and Gretel. So you were a big Sanctuary fan, if I recall. No,
yeah,
argument?
That's not Sanctuary is very good. There was this guy. There's this guy who worked there who like would not charge you for food, and like
those are the best kind of guys.
He would like walk away and go in the back for like 15 minutes, and then he would just never come back. And
you're like, okay, I'm just gonna leave with
all right, I'm
with all this food.
You're not gonna charge me. All right, that's cool.
Yeah, I don't know. I felt like actually this was better than I thought it was going to be tonight.
Yeah. I mean, we're pretty good at this. we are. We're pretty good at this.
Yeah, for like the 8th best Rutgers football podcast. Right. Yeah.
I mean, we're a little late. I think, let's see. Brightman had a podcast out, I think, like Sunday night.
Like immediate reaction,
an hour long podcast out Sunday night. That's some good work.
Yeah.
Rutgers Rant had one come out yesterday.
Yep. Yep. I listened to a little bit of theirs today.
What are the other Rutgers podcasts going right now? Do we have any?
Well, you have the Scarlet Spotlight.
Oh, right. I honestly 100% forgot about the Scarlet Spotlight. Aren't they on some kind of break right now?
Some kind of break.
The High Holidays.
Those are still going on.
Are they still? They're done.
Big Sukkot week for Danny.
Ah, Sukkot. That's the one with the house, right?
They shake the lemon thingy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, there was an episode of The League about Sukkot, wasn't there? Mm.
Yeah. I don't know. I didn't watch The League.
Oh, you watched The League? Good show. You should watch it.
Good show. Okay.
Until the show ended. Did it end because the guy, what's his name in real life? Steve Ranazizi. He was like, lied about being in the Twin Towers on 9/11 or something. There's some really weird story about the guy from The League lying about being in the Twin Towers or something.
All right.
Anyway.
Wow. What a note to end this one on.
Hold on.
Remember that time when Rutgers took that photo shoot at
Oh my God. I think we stayed away from that.
We did. We did it. We never. Too soon. Hashtag too soon.
There was that Syracuse blogger who was all mad about who was mad about the.
And we were like, you know, we kind of want to defend them, but it's just not worth it.
Yeah, I was team Syracuse guy on
that. That was like one of those where like we're not. It's just not even worth dying on that hill right now.
The Ground Zero fashion shoot.
Oh man. Okay. Well, bad week of football. We're past it. You get a bye week. What are you going to do with your bye week? You got the wedding. You said right.
I've got the wedding. Yeah.
Okay.
My bye week wedding, all it's a someone in my family, so it's an all weekend affair. There's Friday night, there's Saturday, it's the whole thing.
You got to like travel far for it or no?
It's in Manhattan, so.
So are you going into the city on Friday?
Yeah, got a hotel.
Okay, where is the hotel in?
Like Tribeca, I think.
Gotcha. So away from Danny, we just want to make sure we're away from where Danny is.
Far enough from Danny.
Far enough. Where like you can't get corralled into like having to.
Danny
see
was
him.
Talking about crashing the wedding.
Was he?
I mean, it's not my wedding. I'm not going to stop him.
I mean, any single people at the wedding that we know of?
I don't know. There's going to be like 300 people there.
A live edition of Danny Dates. Danny Dates wedding crashing edition.
We need to get him to bring that back. Is what we need to do.
We'll talk to him about it. Yeah. We'll try and get that going.
We need to get him to explain his tweets again. We do need to do that. It's been a long time since we've done explain his tweets.
Yeah. Yep. Well, we got play. I can't imagine that we're going to have that much football to talk about moving forward. And he's going to want to come on and talk basketball soon enough. So I'll have that going for him.
Yeah, they had their they had open practice or whatever this weekend. I don't know anything about it, but I know it happened. So
I'm excited for basketball season. I'm going to say it. I'm going to say it now. I'm excited.
I think you've gotten to a point with this program where even like you don't know if they're going to be good this year, but
no, I have no idea.
You're pretty certain they're not going to be horrible.
No.
And you're going to be excited no matter what. You're not going to, they lose players and you assume they're not going to be as good as they were last year, but you have confidence they're going to give you exciting basketball or not. Okay. Exciting is the wrong word that they're going to give you. They're going to compete and they're going to win, a decent amount of games.
Just to piss off the basketball people and go back to like a football analogy. Like, I feel like we're kind of on that way right now of like Greg's first time here. That's the equivalent of like Steve Peichel right now.
I do feel like it's kind of similar to Peichel's year three, right? Which was pretty bad to start.
Right. So like they're going to, maybe first four, and is the ceiling moving forward. But you know what? Right now it's fun. It's exciting to look forward to.
Rutgers basketball has you looking forward to their season at any point.
Yeah. And that's
it's a win.
Tip of the hat right there. All right. So this wasn't bad. We'll see if we get one.
We'll let the listeners decide whether or not this was bad.
Okay. Yeah, let us know. Hashtag must can't lose part two. That's what we're going into next week.
Hey, the players.
My first song was like 48 bars with no hook. You hear me flipping through my pages out my favorite notebook. The microphone was in the closet. What? No headphones, we lost it. Niggas scared to get some water. Roaches hanging over the faucet. No AC, there's a breaker. Sweat just trying to make beats. He dub was been the hustler. Flirting with all his customers and flat broke. Nappy smoking blacks out on the back boat. I'm thinking I got everything the country boy can ask for. Now what we do to get here?
Say that, boy.
Lay it down and bring it to you raw.
Say that, boy.
Hey, now we heard some, suffering for more. Chase what we work for, hated for the cussing, but the hatred it made us cuss more. Held on, it was hard. Stepped up, took charge, ran through what we scared of. What was we afraid for? Look at what we made of. Hard that the made us. Being here is alright, but must believe we won't fall.
That from that rooter to that shooter foul. Hell no, them punch that ball ain't headed top off 6 miles. Get cookie, move them kinfolk. Twankies with them hunters folk. Skelet on that front post. Plus, you know they got drove. 79, Coupe de Ville. Heard a cow, cat a grill. Interstate 65. Headed down that cash field. Glass field to the tippin' top. Backseat bend. Spent my last cent on the rent. Left a pocket lens. A damn shame. Gotta grind anything and everything. Jim and crack on. Cross the county line with Mary Jane. A long time ago. Gravel road to cash and fame and sold my soul to hell and back and back and forth with same jeans and nappy fro.
I pop the Molly, go on like my Marley. Not Marty's with Charlie's, Marley like they swallowing Bacardi. Talk about the skin, probably got it like him. Understand, you're bound to lose your life fucking with them.
Them country boys on the ride, with the big fat wheels on the sky.
Country boys.